Coming to you by way of the not-for-profit Mainframe Studios at 900 KOA in downtown Des Moines, this is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. I'm your host, Pat Bode, working remotely due to the technical skills of my collaborator, Alex Cooney. Thank you, Alex. And today we have on the line Mainframe multimedia artist Ryan Topete. Ryan grew up in Sioux City and enlisted in the Marine Corps 1 year after high school, serving three tours of duty in Iraq. He graduated with a BFA in painting in 2016 from Drake University. Now, some of you might know Ryan for the great counsel he gave us wannabe artists when we stopped in cold snow on University Avenue in the Drake neighborhood. Others of you might know him for his striking mural at the Shop and Save at 1372 East 14th Street in Des Moines. If you don't know him for that, drive by. And perhaps others know him from stopping by his studio at Mainframe, which is Lower Level 11, LL 11. But reminder, Mainframe is closed to the public right now. Now, Ryan, before we tackle these pandemic times and their impact on your life in the arts, let's take a step back. That mural at the Shop and Save clearly comes from a place of deep inspiration. While we will post a picture, could you please describe it a bit for our listeners and speak to what the work means to you personally?
Yeah, so the mural I did on the side of a building would be what people call like a serape pattern, or people kind of refer to them as ponchos. So it's kind of a pattern that's from Central America, South America, a very Latino-based pattern. And so, so that I think is kind of the gist of the mural.
And what were you hoping to get out of it for you personally? And then I want to talk about the community piece.
Yeah, so I mean, I think they kind of tie together because, so I was confronted with Third Space DSM, who actually commissioned me for the mural. And so what they wanted was a mural that reflects the community. So what I did was I actually looked what the actual ethnicity within the neighborhood. And I noticed that it actually was 40% Hispanic. And so that was the biggest demographic kind of in that neighborhood. And since my father was from Mexico, I started to think of these kind of ideas. And so one thing that I was drawn to was this like serape pattern, which, I grew up with in my house. We had these ponchos that I remember growing up with as long as I remember. So, these patterns are something I've seen my entire life. I kind of wanted to take something that was kind of important to me and project it into this neighborhood. And also, I guess, the idea of what this kind of stands for, the conceptual ideas of what a blanket is into a community. And especially, it's really colorful. If you see the mural, I used 25 plus different actual colors like in the mural. So, and all the colors are very vibrant. So there's this kind of radiant energy that kind of comes off of it, and especially here in Iowa when it gets really cold and gray and in the winter, it's a really nice kind of place to go to kind of get some of that vibrancy when it's non-existent in the winter.
Yeah, so when I think of blankets, I think of shelter, and now I'm thinking of a vibrant, colorful, dynamic shelter.
Right.
Of some kind.
And that's exactly kind of what I want. I wanted it to be like a visual shelter for the neighborhood. Not only is it something that represents the ethnic background of the community, but it also comes together as, right, this place that it's a beautiful mural for a neighborhood that's a working class neighborhood that really didn't have these types of murals in there, in the neighborhood. So to kind of bring this to the people, it's been really great. And when we were doing it, we got all kinds of feedback from, different ethnic backgrounds, people saying, this is amazing, this is great, this is colorful, this is exactly what we need here. And I think that was, I think since kind of working in public art, I think that's one of the most rewarding things is getting the feedback from the public and kind of telling and having them tell their story on how much they like it and like to see it in their community.
Is there a particular response you remember or a particular story?
Well, so I want to kind of direct it I had a conversation with the East High School art teacher there. Her name is Ryan. And she would talk about how, so there's a few murals that I've done in that neighborhood, and she would talk about her students, they associate these murals to theirs. So they gain identity to these. So people refer to my mural as their mural. And I think like...
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and that's what's really great. And to hear these, and she's told me the story that these kids compete back and forth. Well, no, my mural's better than the other mural that's in your neighborhood. They're like, no, mine's better because it has this colors. And it was really great to kind of hear like these kids kind of gravitate and actually latch onto these murals and take identity to them. Where I don't think that really happens, say you have murals that go in downtown. You know, people aren't going to say like whether you have a mural on your building. No one living downtown is going to be like, this is my mural, like, and really take, I think, that pride into it, where you get into some of these neighborhoods where people they do identify and they take this great pride for it, and that actually makes me feel so much better about kind of doing these murals in like working class neighborhoods.
So now you've done this community work, and you've done a lot of work with Third Space DSM and Brian Bonanno. How is that changing now? Is it just completely drying up, or is there some kind of piece that you can work on in this interim time between now and a future when we can interact more physically as we have in the past?
That's a good question, and there's definitely, a big question mark still attached, I would think, to my answer too, because right now, as an artist, I was kind of unprepared for this pandemic to kind of take hold. I was bartending at the time, and then, you know, Mainframe has their open first Fridays, so I kind of lost my job like on the bartending end, and then also the first Fridays aren't happening. Well, I didn't have like a website set up yet, and I'm kind of work in process of doing that with, I think there's so much unknown to what's going on right now. I would like to think that, we would hope to kind of get some projects coming up, especially some public art projects, but it's so much up in the air, especially with right now, I think, finding funding for these kind of projects is always kind of hard, and it was hard before this, so I can only imagine, you know, going forward after this new norm, how hard is it to kind of get funding for these type of projects. So we've been talking to a few people to kind of get a couple more public art projects to start going during this time, but we're still kind of doing the back and forth dance between some of these projects, and some of the projects that we did have coming up fell through because of the pandemic. So, so that's always kind of this unknown right now of what's going on.
So how are you adjusting to this right now? How are you coping, might be a better word?
I don't know. I think for me, it's just kind of... I think as artists alone, I think quarantine really isn't that bad. I think a lot of artists should probably kind of be used to that, since, you know, spending time in the studio hours and hours, you know, I've done this before where I've, you know, spent days and hours like in a studio by myself, but I think for this long extended periods of time, it's a little bit different. And I've noticed that maybe some of my work wasn't geared toward, printing off or selling it or very small to sell. So I think I've kind of stepped back and kind of reevaluated what I'm making. So I thought about, you know, sizes, medium. So normally I think my medium is like spray paint and acrylics, and I do printmaking, but, you know, lately I've actually just been painting, just kind of brush painting on canvas. And I think that's been really great.
And why that shift?
I think it has to do with, again, like my large work was, it's not like a really easy sell. So I would think like if I made like a lot of smaller paintings, that would be something to sell. And then also it's just kind of me bringing myself back to school. I've actually started working with like a limited palette of painting. So I've kind of worked towards something called a Zorn palette, after the 19th century Swedish painter Anders Zorn. So he was kind of known to only using four colors, which was titanium white, yellow ochre, cadmium red light, and ivory black. So with these four colors, you can actually get a wide array, especially of like flesh tints and earth tones, which is really amazing. I've kind of been, I guess, taking myself back to school in some respect, like focusing on a minimal palette and kind of mixing colors from there, and kind of also mixing around the colors within that limited palette and to see what I can get. So lately I've actually been making a lot of color wheels and gradients of different colors I can mix just with those variant kind of four colors. And so I don't know, that's what I'm focused on right now, but that it's also not doing much. It's not like I'm producing something for a lot of people to, I guess, purchase, but it's also making me focus on, well, when this something happens like this, how can I in the future sell work, or what kind of work am I doing that's easy to sell or ship in maybe like a smaller scale? So I think that's where my shift has kind of happened within the last month or so.
So it'd be fair to say it's a little bit of a pragmatic business decision on the one hand, but it sounds like you're making the most of it artistically.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think a lot of artists are probably doing that too, is that, you know, they're focusing in their studio, they're sketching more. At least I know that I am. I'm, you know, painting more in a sketchbook. Like that was one thing I really hadn't done before, was have a painting sketchbook instead of just something that you draw and I'm actually painting in. And then I've seen like a lot of, you know, artist friends of mine that are again in like the mural, doing murals and stuff like that. They've kind of shifted to pet portraits and, you know, these different family portraits on a very small scale. And I think that's smart. I you know, that's a smart way to go about it, and I guess that's where I would like to shift to. But again, I think I'm just taking myself back to school, like doing color theory again, learning about minimal palettes and playing around with that. And then I, you know, I'm painting portraits here and there just on my little commissions. But yeah, I think that's the shift, is just focusing on your art and kind of seeing what this kind of new world and new reality to the art world is. Because really, right, like this pandemic is affecting the art community very negatively, because if, you know, a lot of art events are based on community events where people get together in close proximity, and that's non-existent right now, and we kind of don't know how long that's going to last for. So there's so much unknown for how to kind of shift your art into another realm, and I think a lot of artists are thinking about that, and whether that's doing digital galleries or just selling more portraits. I think that there's people are still trying to find that shift. And again, with this shift of me painting with this minimum palette, there's a lot of portraits I've been painting with this, and I think that has to do with the people aspect of it. I for some reason, I feel a need more now to paint people than I had before, and I'm less around people now. So I think there's a correlation between the two. But
that's interesting. In your isolation, you're looking for the face.
I am. So right now in isolation, I am painting a lot of face portraits. So it's kind of interesting. And I was saying before, I'm used to kind of working in the studio or being quarantined alone for long periods of time. But I think there is a time where I need to be around people, and the Zoom calls aren't doing it enough for me. I need to be in people's presence, and I'm not getting that right now. And I think that's the difficult part about right now. Like, I would love to do portraits, but I can't get anyone to sit for me. And so that, like, the moment you kind of want something for your art, it's non-existent and it's not there. And it's almost heartbreaking not to have those people around you. And yeah.
What are you doing for self-care in all of this?
I think the self-care has to do with the art practice. I am in my sketchbook more. I'm, taking time, to watch more films. I think the art is a part of the self-care, which, as an artist, that's a part of your life. So, yeah, I think just being in my head in a sketchbook is helping for self-care. And because it's shutting out the world around me, I can focus on what I'm doing in that moment in my sketchbook and not worry about the coronavirus or when is my job going to come back, or worried about loved ones that may get the coronavirus. You know, I think if you do focus on these kind of things, it can kind of drive you mad. So again, staying, I think, in a sketchbook has kind of helped me stay sane a little bit during this time.
That's really smart thinking. Have you gone after some of these stimulus funds? And if so, how's that gone?
I have applied for some benefits. I haven't got them yet. We'll see how that plays out. Right now, the stimulus package has not affected me. We'll see. I know it has helped out other people. You know, $1,200 a month stimulus check that's not really going to do much for a lot of people, especially mm-hmm. people that have a family. So, I don't know how much this stimulus package is helping, and maybe there's something down the road, maybe like small business, another round of small business loans that someone can take out to maybe start a small business. But the stimulus really hasn't affected me at all.
As a self-employed person, there might be opportunities for you to apply for some things there that perhaps you haven't had a chance to go after yet. It's hard to tell. There are resources out there through the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs and Art Beacon and Culture Buzz. All of those have some great resources. So,
And I am looking into it and keeping my, people send me these kind of links or the funding for self-employed artists right now. I think it's such a mystery right now on how this is kind of play out that we'll see.
So tell me a little bit before we go here about your sense of how this is going to be playing out in the community in those two fronts, the arts community and the community writ large. From the perspective of the arts community, we've talked a lot about how you're kind of coping with it, and apparently you're in touch to some extent with some of your fellow artists who are also trying to navigate this turf. How do you see the arts community either strengthening or weakening through these times or something in between?
My hope is that the community will strengthen during this time. My worry is that it won't. Again, there's so much unknown with the coronavirus, and, I've heard things that, things won't get back to normal unless we have a vaccine or at least herd immunization. And, we're looking at, I I heard this morning that 2021 is probably the first date to get something like that. So, you know, we're a ways out, at least what people are calling norms. So these norms, I think, do affect the art community. So I'm worried. I don't know how this is going to affect the art community, especially here in Des Moines, but I'm always worried. And I think that now is what you're going to see is artists shifting. Artists are going to start shifting and thinking about what they're doing, similar to me, or just shifting to a more online setting. Or maybe they're going to start making more prints, or maybe start making smaller work. I think that a lot of artists are going to go that realm, or at least start to do a lot more self-promotion, where before I think they rely on maybe a gallery or something like that. And now really a gallery is going to be almost non-existent, it seems like, in the next year. And I think that just brings up so many unknowns for several artists. I know that, I was talking about maybe having a show earlier, during this time, but it's not going to happen because of, the public being closed. So, it'll be interesting to see kind of how the community shifts. It'll be interesting to see if there'll be a shift towards supporting more the arts in the community. You know, I know that there's a lot of national funding since, the late 80s have been cut for the arts. And, thinking of the National Endowment of the Arts has been cut. And I think last proposed, the current administration wanted to completely gut it. So, when you kind of hear those things and it's such a turbulent time, I think people think the first thing to cut is the arts. I mean, it just seems kind of ridiculous to kind of cut something now that everyone is dependent on right now at their homes, whether it's looking at visual art or, art in with film. Everyone's kind of dependent on arts right now. So to cut the one thing that we're dependent on just seems kind of counterproductive to me.
That's really an important thought. One of the things I hear in the community is how much people want the creativity of the arts applied to our systems so that a future at the back end of this is a better, richer, more profound future. Happier one. One quick point. I mentioned the mural at the Shop and Save.
Yes.
Do you want to highlight a couple of other murals real quick
For
people
to
drive by?
That's. I think if you just go to Third Space DSM and kind of look at their map, there's a number of murals that I've helped out on. I think mine's at the top of the list. That's the one that I designed, but. Go ahead and check out Third Space DSM and look at their mural map, and you can see a few that I've worked on there.
It'll be a great scavenger hunt for those folks who are homeschooling.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, Ryan, I want to thank you so much for this. It's been fascinating. I wish you all the best. I'm glad you're finding self-care in your art. That's a fantastic thing. I'm glad you've taken yourself back to school. And we're all trying to navigate this turf. So you've given some folks some valuable ideas on how they can do some of that for themselves. I also want to thank Alex Cooney for his technical expertise, Siobhan Spain, and all of the folks at Mainframe Studios for the work that they keep doing. A reminder that we remain closed there for the public. And I want to quote Third Space here. I looked up Third Space, Ryan, as I was getting prepared to visit with you. Mm-hmm. And their website says simply, "It is never an easy time to be an artist, but it's an especially difficult time to be an artist right now. This is why we are asking you to please show as much support as you possibly can for all of our artists. Give them a follow, go out and visit their murals, or even better yet, visit their websites to purchase artwork or commission them to create something unique for you." I thought that was perhaps excellent counsel that I wanted to share with our listeners. And you can find Ryan on Instagram at RyanTopete_art. And let me spell Ryan's last name for you, TOPETE. So you might think of it as at Ryan2Pete_art. As an additional note, as part of Art Week, this podcast, along with Mainframe Studios, Polk County Conservation, and the Great Outdoors Foundation, will be supporting Art Adventure. This activity will take you to parks outside of Des Moines in search of art treasures. Some of those art treasures are permanently on display in parks throughout central Iowa, and a handful are being created by Ryan Tepete. His works will be treasures available for finding and keeping on a first-come, first-serve basis. But once you find one and take it, go find the others, but leave for others to take. Now check the Polk County Conservation website and or Art Week postings for more information. That's artweekdesmoines.com, and be a part of the art adventure featuring Ryan's work. Well, thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
And thank you, folks, for listening to 900 Views. This is Pat Bodie.